Rehearsal Chester, September 28, 2008, Malchus, Sifronos, and Shofros.
We'll be giving a share on Malchus, Sifronos, and Shofros. Obviously, the theme of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and I'm sure that our davening will be uplifted and far more meaningful after hearing the Rav Chester share. It's a great pleasure to choose for sure.
Thank you very much. The Mishnah records the din that we are supposed to blow shofar al seder habrachos after Malchus, after Zechronos, and after shofar. Rashi in his commentary on the Mishnah and on the Gemara and on Chumash seems to imply that this is a din in HaTorah, that you're supposed to blow shofar al seder habrachos. In fact, the Gemara says that the min HaTorah were only obligated to blow three times tekiyah, truah, tekiyah. And because we're not sure what the trua is, whether it's what we call trua, what we call shvarma, what we call shvarim trua, that's why we blow three times. We blow three times tashrat, and three times tkiya shvarim tkiya, and three times tkiya trua tkiya. So why is it min HaTorah? The obligation is to blow three times tkiya trua tkiya. So Rashi, sounds like he says a few times on the Gemara, once in connection with Malchus, once in connection with Zechronos, once in connection with Shofros. So Rashi assumes that Malchus, Zechronos, Shofros is a din min HaTorah. And the reason why we have to blow tkiya, truah, tkiya three times is corresponding to these three brachas min HaTorah. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash disagrees with this Rashi on Parshas Hamor. He says from the Pirush Rashi al HaTorah, also it sounds like Rashi seems to say on the Gemara that Malchus Chayin HaShofis is min HaTorah. The Ramban says, how can it be? It's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, what do you do? A man lives on a farm and he has no minion. And he doesn't have a shofar, and he doesn't have a machzor. In the days of the Gemara, there weren't any sidurim, there weren't any machzorim, because the Gemara seems to say, Masech HaShabbos in Perikol Kisei, that the text of the tefillah was a chelik of the Torah Shabbal Teh, and just like it was prohibited to write down the Mishnais and to write down the Gemara, so it was prohibited to write down the Nesach HaTefillah. And in later generations, when they Chachamim allowed the writing down of the Mishnais, that's when they permitted the writing down of the Nusach of the Brachos. But in the days of the Tanaim, it was still considered a chelik of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So they weren't allowed to have any machzorim or any sidurim. So the Gemara, the Braisa talks about a situation, a fellow is all by himself, or he has a minion, they have no baltekeya, and they have no machzor, and they have nobody to daven Malchus Chayin HaShofis. So he's going to go to a nearby village. He can't afford to come to America, where you have a minion, where we have a shofar, and we have a baltefillah. So he can either go to one village where they know they have a shofar, but there's no Baal Musaf to daven Malchus Chayin HaShofis, or he can go to another village where they're going to have a Baal Tfila, he's going to daven Malchus Chayin HaShofis, but they won't have a Baal Tekeya. So which village should he go to? So the Braisa says he should go to the village where they have a shofar, as opposed to the village where they have a Baal Tfila. So the Gemara asks Akasha on the Braisa, this is so obvious. Why do you need a braisa to tell you that? We know that the mitzvah shofar says mechumish, that's min HaTorah. And the obligation to recite Malchus Chayin HaShofis is only mid Rabbanon. So obviously you go, if it's a choice, you won't be able to have both. So of course you go to the village, we're going to have a Baal Tekeah, that's the din mid-raisa. And you forget about the Malchus Chayin HaShofis, farfam. So the Gemara says the pshat and the braisa must be talking about the following case. In the one village, they're going to have a Baal Musaf, they're going to have a Baal Tfilah, but they're not going to have a Baal Tekeah. So I know that I'll get Malchus Chayin HaShofis, but I won't get Kiyah Shofar. In the other village, they do not have a Baal Musaf, they don't have a Baal Tefillah, and they may or may not have a Baal Tekeah. He has no telephone to call up, has no fax machine. They may or may not have a Baal Tekeah. So he may be left with nothing. He may be left with Kareach Nikan, Kareach Nikan. So that's what the Braisa says. It's preferable to go to the village where you're not going to have Malchus Chayin HaShofis, but you may or may not have a Shofar, because that's a suffix deraisa, as opposed to going to the village where Yuvadai will have the Baal Tfila and not have the Baal Tekeah, because a suffix deraisa, even though the other side is and may be left with nothing, a suffix deraisa is better than a Vadai derabon. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash points out, how can Rashi say that Malchus Chayin HaShofis is a din min HaTorah? Is beferish against the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's such a double pashut, that you go to the village where they have the shofar as opposed to the village where they have the Malchus Chayin HaShofis, because this is the Raisa, this is the Rabbanon. How can Rashi say that davening Malchus Chayin HaShofis is a din min HaTorah? So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the Biur in Rashi, when the Sefer Yom Teruah. So the Sefer Yom Teruah writes that he thinks that Rashi only meant to say that Malchus Chayim Shofis is a Dimon HaTorah when it comes in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar. If the village is not going to have a Bal Tekeh, they're only going to have a Bal Musaf, so to daven Malchus Chayim Shofis is only Mid Rabbanim. But if you have the combination of both together, that's when Rashi says that the Malchus Chayim Shofis is Min HaTorah. What could this possibly be based on? What could it be based on? What? The reciting of Malchus Chayim Shofis is Min HaTorah when it comes in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar. Why is that? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested perhaps as a mocker, the Sefer Yom Teruah doesn't give any mocker for this. Rav Soloveitchik suggested the following mocker, the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah that says when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, so we don't blow Shofar. So the Gemara says, where does it say that in Tanakh? Where's the source? So the Gemara first starts off thinking that it's the Dimon HaTorah, because we have two descriptions of Rosh Hashanah. And one place the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, a day on which we blow Shofar. The other pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Teruah. Zichron Teruah means like Lahazkir, to mention, to talk about Tkiyas. You talk about Tkiyas, but you don't actually blow Shofar. So which is the story? Is Rosh Hashanah a day on which we actually blow Shofar, or is it a day on which we talk about Tkiyas Shofar? So the Gemara first suggests that maybe this is the Teretz. Maybe when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then we only talk about Tkiyas Shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out one of the other 6 days of the week, then you actually blow Shofar. Then the Gemara says, no, the Gemara rejects that. How can that be possible? No, it's clear that this din, that we don't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, is only a din with the Rabbanon, because they're afraid someone's going to forget and carry chutz la'aretz. But it's not really a din in our Torah. So the Gemara says it's only a gzera with the Rabbanon. So the Gemara never finishes the sentence. So what's pshat in the pasuk? Why does it say zichron teruah? What does it mean? What happened to the contradiction? On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is described as a day of Yom Teruah. The other hand, it's described as a day of Zichron Teruah. You only talk about Tkiyah. So what's the answer? So some of them, before Shemani Gemara, say, yeah, it's Gzeirah Midrabbanan, but this Gzeirah Midrabbanan was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Chumash says Zichron Teruah, it's an allusion to the Gzeirah Midrabbanan. You have in the Chumash, you have recorded Dinah Min HaTorah, and you have alluded to Dinah Midrabbanan as well. The Gemara has a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu and his Bezdin were the ones who made the Takana that we shouldn't go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says it's alluded to in the Pesach. That's an allusion to the Takana that Moshe Rabbeinu made. You see, the Gemara is interpreting Psukim that are Meramis, the Takanas that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the Sefer Halachas Ktanos, Aloch Tanis says a lot of things that are not acceptable. So Aloch Tanis writes like that. This Takana de Rabbanah, not the Blo Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, was already instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the generally accepted assumption by all of the historians. They assume that all these gzeiros that the Gemara has were made during the period of the Bais Shem. In fact, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, has in his collection of drushes in the Sefer Likutei Torah, has a whole drush about this. He writes, it's a dove of Pashat, everybody knows a dove of Pursim, that these gzeiros not to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, not to shake the lulav when Sukkot falls on a Shabbos, whenever Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, so the first day Sukkot is going to fall out on Shabbos. All of these gzeiros were made during the period of the Bais Sheni. That's a dove of Pashat like that, a given. And then he has a whole Kabbalistic explanation, why did they only feel it necessary, why did they only feel compelled to make the gzeiros during the period of the Bais Sheni, why not during the period of the Bais Rishon? Why were they not afraid of carrying the invite? So I don't understand what he says, but he says something that he gives Kabbalistic sources. He says that during the period of the Bais Rishon, since the Jews had an independent Jewish government, so then the Yetzer Hara had less shlita on the Jews. So the rabbis during the period of the Bais Rishon didn't feel it necessary to make any gzeiros. But during the period of Bais Sheni, because for so many centuries, till the days of the Chashmonaim, they didn't have an independent Jewish government. That's why when we're not independent, then the Yetzer Hara has more shlita. I don't understand. He gives sources in Kabbalistic Svarim for this. I don't understand the Metzias. I thought the Talmud points out during the period of the first temple, they were worshipping Avodah Zorah, violating Gilei Arayos and Shvi'ah Chazam. Everything was going wrong. During the period of the second temple, the Gemara said there was an awful lot of learning going on, but they were not knowing properly Benodam L'Chaveiro. And that's worse than the violation of Benodam L'Chaveiro. It's worse than the violation of Benodam L'Makom, V'Haraya. That's the second place Amigdash is still not rebuilt. In the first place, Amigdash was rebuilt after 70 years. So I don't understand the whole assumption that the Baal HaTanya says that during the period of the first temple there was less Yetzer Hara. But leaving that aside, He writes a davar pashut like we always assume, that this gzeirah derabbanon, not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, did not exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was instituted way later. So what taka is the pshat in the pasuk? What does it mean, zichron tshuva? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe once you get to the conclusion of the Gemara that zichron tshuva is not an allusion to a din men atorah, that when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, you don't blow shofar at all. Maybe the word zichron tshuva means a different thing, totally different. Not zichron to talk about lahazikir, to talk about tkiyas as opposed to Yom Tshuva actually blowing shofar. Maybe zichron tshuva alludes to the fact that we blow shofar in conjunction with davening. Zichron means to daven. As the Gemara says, Gemara has a certain din regarding tkiyas shofar. So the Gemara says shofar is special because kaven dilizikaron ka'asvi. Since the purpose of the blowing shofar is to blend in with the davening, therefore kilashim dami. It's considered as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there will more machmer, and when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, will more machmer on the din of enkatega and also sanega. The Gemara talks about a shofar shal parah, that you're not allowed to use a shofar from a parah, because the parah is reminiscent of the Egel Azov, even though the Egel Azov was a golden calf, it wasn't an animal at all, but still, so the Gemara says all cows and calves in the world, you're not allowed to use for a shofar because kaven is the karen kasi. The tekiyah shofar comes for the purpose of tefillah. So whenever you daven, it's considered as if mamish yilafnei Hashem kilasnim domi. So what does the Gemara use the expression kaven is the karen kasi? The karen means davening. Where they get that usage of the term zikaron has to do with davening? So Soloveitchik thought this is the makkah. The pasuk says zichron tshuva. So the tanoim, once you reject the thought that it means talking about tkiyas, it's not alluding to the fact that on Shabbos we don't blow shofar, we just talk about tkiyas. No, zichron tshuva means that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the tkiyas shofar. Kaden to zikaron kasi, zikaron means to daven. So that's perhaps the makor of Rashi, that Rashi understands that if you're blowing shofar, then there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to recite Malchus Ohana shofars in conjunction with the tkiyas shofar, to combine the two together. If you're not blowing shofar, you're going to a village where there is no shofar, then the Gemara says correctly that the Malchus Ohana shofar is only midirabbana. The connection between the two, that's a din min HaTorah. What exactly does that mean, the connection between tkiyas shofar and Malchus Ohana shofar is min HaTorah? Isn't there a din of hefsek that in the middle of davening you're not allowed to be involved in anything else? Let's say you'll start shaking a lulav in the middle of Shema Nesher. It'll probably be a hefsek. So why do they permit blowing shofar in the middle of the Shema Nesher? Why doesn't that constitute a hefsek? So Soloveitchik pointed out, in the middle of Hallel on Sukkot, we shake the lulav. So also a question, why doesn't that constitute a hefsek? In the middle of Chazaras HaShas, we do the duchening, you have the Siyas Kafayim. Why isn't that a hefsek? So the duchening in the middle of Chazaras HaShat, the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Chumash in Parsha Shmini, that the Gemara Seita derives from a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Aaron HaKohen gave the Birchas Kohanim, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha. So the Gemara understands the pasuk to mean at the conclusion of Hakrobas Kavanas Tzibur, that's when the Kohanim are supposed to duchen. That's what led Rabbi Yankif Emden to write the Mishnah Berurah quotes on the first page in Hilchos Nesiyas Kafayim. So you have Mishnah Berurah and you have the Bir Halacha, then you have a Shaar HaTzion, and then on the bottom of the page he has a footnote below the Shaar HaTzion. He has a footnote that Rabbi Yankif Emden writes in his Sefer that Duchening Bizman is only with the Rabban, because the Gemara says in Saita on Perek El Namar, the duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur. So it can only be, by definition, it can only be in the Beis HaMikdash when they're bringing Karbanas. There's Manazet and no Karbanas, so the whole duchening is only Rabban. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and he says, with all due respect, it's not correct, because it's a Beferish Gemara in the end of Chulin, the duchening is Menatorah, even this Manazet. So the question is, for Rabbi Yankif Emden also quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says, Beferish, that duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur. So how do the two jive? How can you have duchening men atar if they're not Karbanas Tzibur? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say over, he said over once, on your side, Drasha. So he said over from the Keren Ora. Keren Ora has in his commentary on the Gemara Saito that this kasha, how do you duchen if there's no Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur? So the Keren Ora says that when we daven, on the weekdays, let's say, we say, Shmak aleinu chus v'racham aleinu v'kabel v'rachamim v'rotzen es tefilos seinu baruch ato Hashem shamea tefilo. Immediately after we finish a mitzvah, we say, Ritzei Hashem v'kedev v'amti Yisrael u'di tefilosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept that prayer. That's what we just said. And then you say right to the same thing in the next bracha. Why do you repeat the same thing in two brachas, one after the other? So he explained, the Kerenar explained, that Shmak Aleinu Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Ritzei Ritzui, the Balatanya writes in the Tanya, Ritzui is a term that appears in Tanakh over 95% of the time in connection with Hakrabas Karbonas. It always says Vinirtzo Lo Lachaparolo. Ritzui means that the Karbon is accepted. The Mishnah says, is it Meratze? Is it not Meratze? If it sits as Meratze, the Karbon is kosher. If it's not Meratze, the Karbon is no good. So Ritzui is a technical term that usually appears in connection with Hakrabas Karbonas. So when we offer the prayer, we're asking something else. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers, that's the theme of Shema Koleinu. Ritzei means HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the prayers as if we had offered a carbon. It should be considered as if we're giving everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're relying totally on Him. When we pray, we accept, we believe in the fact that everything is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No outside force can help us. And that's the idea of HaKrovas HaKarbonos also. We give everything away. We can't give everything away. Kodesh Baruch Hu. We need parnasa. We need our lives. So when we give a carbon to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's symbolic of the fact that we should be prepared to give everything away to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from Him. So when a private person in the Beis Hamikdash, there were two types of carbonas. There was a carbon yochid and a carbon tzibur. The carbon yochid is paid for by a private person. The carbonas tzibur have to be paid for by the machzor shekel, by the tzibur dikin money. So when a private person is davening Shmona Esrei and he says Ritzei, so he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept his prayers if he had offered a Karban Yochid. When the Chazan is repeating the Shmona Esrei, he says the Chazoras HaShatz, so that's what the Rishonim call a Tfilas HaTzibur. The Tzibur is offering a Tfilah. So when the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei, he says Ritzei, so he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept his Tfilas HaTzibur as if it were a Karban Tzibur. So when the Chazan says Ritzei, so it's considered Al Pidin Men HaTorah. That's how the Mishkan is Yankis. That's what the Karaner quotes his brother. Mishkan is Yankis. It's considered as if the Chazan had offered a carbon tzibur. So that's what enables the Kohanim to duchen Bizman Hazeh. And this works Men HaTorah. This works Men HaTorah. So when the Chazan offers the Tzvila, Ritzei Hashem Lachem Amstin, so the Tzvilosom, the Tzvilos HaTzibur is considered as if it had been a carbon tzibur. So at the conclusion of carbon tzibur, the Kohanim are able to duchen. That's why the Gemara has, the Kevinara says, that's why the Gemara says the Kohanim have to start walking towards the platform. To the duchen means the platform. The Chatchili should have, like over here, should have a platform. A lot of shuls don't have a platform. So the Kohanim just stand on the floor. So the Chatchili, that's not right. If you don't have a platform, they can duchen anyway. A lot of times you see by the Kohanim Aravi, there's no platform there either, so the Kohanim will take milk crates and stand on top of these cottons. Because lachatchila, the dinas is supposed to be oil leduchen. Oil leduchen means to go up on an elevated platform. There's some tradition post mahol that the platform is ma'akib b'dievitz. I remember many years ago, we visited Eretz Yisrael, so we had an apartment near Yeshiva Kol Torah. So we davened there on Shabbos. So we noticed that when it comes time to duchen, so first the Sfardim go up on the platform. And then if there's room left, then the Ashkenazim go up, and there's no room, so the rest of the Ashkenazim stand on the floor. Why did the Sfardim go up first? It's a Yekishi Yeshiva, called it. It's not a Sfardishi Yeshiva. The answer is because by the Sfardishi Paskim, nobody holds that the platform is Ma'akib. By the Sfardishi Paskim, the Ashkenazi Paskim, nobody holds that it's Ma'akib. By the Sfardishi Paskim, some of them hold that if there's no platform, they simply can't do it. So that's what they explained to me. So that's why the practice was that first they allowed all the Sfardim to go up on the platform, and then if there was a little room left, the Ashkenazim went up also after them, and the rest of the Ashkenazim stood on the floor. So the Gemara has a din, when the Chazan says Ritzei, before the Chazan finishes that Bracha Ritzei, all the Kohanim have to at least start walking towards the platform, towards the Duchen. And the Gemara says, Kol Kain Shaloyaka Raglo Bavaida, if the Kain didn't start walking up, Ritzei is the Bracha Bavaida. Avodah means HaKrovos HaKarbonos. Why is it considered the Bracha of Avodah? Because we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He should accept the prayers as if we have offered a carbon. So because the Bracha of Ritzei is what enables the Kohanim to duchen, that's what the Gemara says. If the Kohen didn't start walking towards the platform in the middle of Ritzei, Shuvein Olu LeDuchen. We don't allow him to duchen later on. That's what Shlomo Levilna writes in his Sefer Binyan. Shlomo also has an elaboration on the same theme. He says, our minig is that whenever we duchen, so we insert a piyut in the middle of Ritzei. It's not Me'akev, it's not part of the Nusach HaTfilah, but it's a piyut. We say, V'sarav alach HaSyurasein HaKa'olach HaKorban. It should be pleasant to you. It should be sweet. Our davening should be accepted as if we brought karbonos. Truth of the matter is that's what the phrase means. That's what the first line means. But whenever we duchen, so we want to emphasize that everybody should understand that it's this bracha ritzei that enables the kohanim to duchen. So when the kohanim duchen in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, that's not considered a hepsik. In fact, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Mishnah in brachas that the chazan who's davening for an amud, it's not in violation of hepsik if the chazan answers amen after the kohanim say Yerech Hashem Yishmerecha, he can answer amen. The Mishnah just says it's a problem. The chazan may get old today. Because in the days of the Tanoim, he's davening by heart. His man has said, no one's going to get sederet. He's davening from a matzah. He's davening from a siddur. So the chazan answers amen, and it doesn't constitute a hefsek. How come entering amen to the duchening is not a hefsek? The answer is because it's not an extraneous mitzvah. If you shake a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei, that's a hefsek. But if you duchen and you enter amen to the duchening blends in. Adarabba, the Shemana Esrei, the ritzei of the Shemana Esrei is what enables the kohanim to duchen. Duchening has to be done at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur. And the same thing, the shaking of the lulav in the middle of the halal is not considered a hefsek. Shake a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei will be a hefsek. The mind says a hefsek, even if you don't say a bracha. You can't fulfill another mitzvah in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. But shaking a lulav in the middle of halal is not a hefsek, because the whole idea of the nanuim is Oziraunu Kalatzeyor, places in Sukkah quotes. We want to demonstrate not only are we praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if all of nature is bowing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do nanuim in two different ways. We wave the lulav and we shake the lulav. So we shake the lulav as if to demonstrate that the trees are also dancing, Oziraunu Kalatzeyor. We wave the lulav as if the trees are also bowing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the nanuim of the lulav in the middle of halal is not considered an extraneous mitzvah that should constitute the hefsek. No, it blends in with the halal. We are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those around in the Kalat Sayyar, all of nature, the trees and the forest are also praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bowing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why isn't the Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, why doesn't that constitute a hefsek? No, it's a din men HaTorah according to Rashi, according to the Ramban, it's a din men HaRabban. What kind of a din is this? Why does the Tkiyah Shofar blend in with the Chazoras HaShatz? The Gemara says that din of Tkiyah HaSeder HaBrachas is only if you have a tzibur. If a private person is davening, but that person doesn't feel well, he can't go to shul, so he's going to blow shofar at home, he's going to have the batei keres going to come. So even if he knows how to blow shofar and he has a machzen, he's not going to make a mistake. And the Gemara says he doesn't blow in the middle of his Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of his Amidah, and the batei keres should not blow for him. This then only applies to tzibur, not the yochid. There are different opinions. What does it mean that it applies to tzibur? What about the middle of the still Shemoneh Esrei? The Tesis in Rosh Hashanah, the long Tesis on Lamed Gimel and Beis, the Tesis gives you all the dinim of Tkiyah Shofar. They run through the whole Seder of Tkiyah Shofar. The Tesis quotes from the Aruch that they used to blow Shofar in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei also. That's also the Tzibur. And that's what the Chassidim do. And by the Misnag, the most in the Misnag, they don't blow Shofar in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. We assume, and it says in the Gemara B'Tzibur, it's only in the Chazaras HaShatz, not in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. Rabban Eliezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. So by Chassidim, they all blow in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. In fact, some of them are so gung-ho about blowing and about being a Makri, they'll have a Makri. The rabbi will be Makri Tikiyo in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. By the Sfarim, they don't have a Makri. By many times, they don't have a Makri at all. Why should the rabbi be the Shekits? I remember when I was in the rabbinate for 5 years, all the Balabatim were quiet by tears, and only the rabbi was the Makri. So I felt so guilty. So I told the Baal Tekeya, the Mishnah Berurah says the first tikiyah is a bigger shaila of hefsek. You're matzik in between the bracha and the tchilas hamitzvah. The rest is a lesser of the shaila. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, if there's no clear cut minig, so the rabbi should not be makri the first tikiyah, because the Baal Tekeya is not going to make a mistake on the first tikiyah. So I told the Baal Tekeya, I'm not going to be makri the first tikiyah. The rest I will, the first one. So he didn't say, good, he understands. Then I came to Tkiyah, obviously he didn't understand, so he blew all the Tkiyahs without letting me mak. So I was very happy. I was very happy. I didn't want to be Makri. But then after the davening, one of the Balabatim was so furious with the oldest Balabatim. He said, what do you mean? You weren't Makri? I cannot answer the Tkiyahs after me Makri. But by the Sfarim, many Sfarim don't have a Makri at all. And by many Hasidim, they have a practice. The rabbi is Makri in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. So tell the Gezach. So we have to understand why shouldn't the tkiyas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei constitute a hefsek? How does it blend in to be one? So comes from that, she used to point out, the Gemara comments on the pasuk Yom Teruah Yelachem. What does it mean? How to translate Yom Teruah? So the Gemara says, look in Targum Onkelos, and it says in the Targum Minhag, Yom Yabavah. No, it doesn't help so much. What does Yabavah mean? We understand Teruah better than Yabavah. What is Yabavah is an Aramaic word? So the Gemara quotes from Shiraz Devayra, that there was a war in Eretz Yisrael, and Sisra was Sartzva Melech Yavin, and he was waging war against the Jewish people, and this time they killed him. Yoel Eshes Chever Akeni chopped his head off, and that was the end of Sisra. So the mother of Sisra always would wait for her son to come back victorious in battle, and this time he didn't come back. She's waiting, and she's sobbing her heart out, she's crying. She thinks this time her son was killed in battle, which was true. And then the pasuk says that the women were trying to console her, to calm her down. No, he's probably being such a big victory, he's going to come back with more slaves and more loot and more booty. Ah, he shouldn't cry. But the mother knew that it was far from. So the Gemara says that the word Vati Yabeiv, the word Yabava, means to cry. So the Tkiyah Shofar, Yom Teruah Yelachem, means a day of crying. What do you mean a day of crying? What Tkiyah Shofar is supposed to be? Supposed to sound like crying. What kind of aloha is that crying? Tkiyah Shofar should sound like crying. So Rachel pointed out, the Gemara has a famous, we have a minute, but on Tisha B'Av, after we read Eicha, when we say Kaddish Tiskabel after Shachris, so we don't say, when we say the Kaddish is supposed to have Kaddish Tiskabel, we don't say Tiskabel Tzlos and Avusan. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, Gam Kezev HaShaveya, Sosam Tzilosi, that the Beis HaMikdash is not only the Mokim HaKrovus HaKrabonis, the Beis HaMikdash is basically Tzvili Yikari. It's the center, it's the office for accepting prayers. And that's when Shlomo HaMelech, when he completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, so he offered his beautiful prayer. So he says the Jews, the non-Jews, everybody should come to the Beis HaMikdash, pray to the Jewish God, not to pray to Osa Ha'ish. And even those who want to daven in America should face Beis HaMikdash. Everyone has to daven in the Beis HaMikdash or facing the Beis HaMikdash. Wherever you are in the world, when you daven is kilifnim dami, it's considered as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Beis HaMikdash is the makam of Hakrobus HaKarbonis, and it's also the makam of Tfilim. So the Gemara says that Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Nina Lushari Tfilim, that the prayers are not going to be answered to the same extent that the prayers would be answered as Lancha Beis HaMikdash or Yekayim. And they quote this pasuk, Am Kiyazda Kashadeh, so some trilos. Then the Gemara says, Bamed, Vamamurim, Stam, if you daven. But if you daven with such heart and soul, with such sincerity, that the person starts crying in the middle of the davening, so then the Gemara says, that's the higher level of tefillah, tefillah with demoiz. So Afal Pi Shishari tefillah ninalu, Shari demoiz, Loi ninalu. That's a higher form of tefillah. It means if some people can just turn on the faucet and they start crying. So that doesn't mean Shari Demaz. Shari Demaz means the person he's carried away with what he's saying. In Yiddish folklore, they tell the story about the fellow who was saying Ezer Mekayman, and he was crying in the middle of Ezer Mekayman. What is it he's crying about, Ezer Mekayman? So he asked him, what are you crying about? So he said, Nebuch, the Parim HaNisrafim. He thought that they burned him alive. Ah, Rahmanus on the Parim HaNisrafim. They didn't burn the Parim HaNisrafim while they were alive. After they shechted it, then they burnt it on the Mizbeth. The Parim burnt it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever. So the idea that the Gemara is driving at, that the Kol HaShofar should sound like crying, means they should elevate the level of the Tfilah to the level of Tfilah Sheyeshim or Demoiz. That's why Rashi says that it's Min HaTorah, that when you have Malchus HaKohen HaShofar, it's in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar, so that's a Din Min HaTorah, that the Tkiyah Shofar elevates the level of the Tfilah to the level of Zeoko, to the level of Tfilah Sheyeshim or Demoiz. Ramban in his Mohammed on the end of Rosh Hashanah gives a mashal amad abadayim. The Mishnah in Maseches Tainus writes that when there was a Tainus Sibur, when there was an Atsiris Gishamim, there wasn't any rain in Eretz Yisrael. There's an epidemic or a plague, a sickness going around or something. A real big Torah Satsibur, so the Bezman would be great at Tainus. When the Chazan would repeat the Mishman Esrei, so in addition to the 18 brachas that we normally say, the Chazan would add on an additional 6 brachas. That up to the sum total of 24 brachas, and then they would blow chatzetzus at the conclusion of each one of those 6 additional brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz. So Ramban says, blowing shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Chayin Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is parallel to blowing chatzetzus at the conclusion of the 6 additional brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz that's described in the Mishnayos and Tainus. And the idea behind it is to elevate the level of the tefillah, that this is a tefillah b'yetzorah, so you have to be more serious about the tefillah. That's the mitzvah of Zeoka. All year long you have tefillah, and when there's an Eitzaris, consider a more serious tefillah. a tefillah with a za'aka. So that's what the tekiyah shofar is supposed to represent. It's supposed to represent the person who's crying, to elevate the level of the tefillah that should be considered a tefillah she'eshi mardimoyz. So that's why it's not considered a hefzik that we blow shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. Adarabba, the tekiyah shofar enhances the tefillah. It's mitzaref to the tefillah to elevate it to the level of za'aka. So Reishik pointed out, there is a machlokes hatanoim when you daven on Rosh Hashanah, when you daven the Malkus and the Shofar, how exactly do you offer the Shemoneh Esrei? So all the tanoim are working on the premise that you only have 9 brachas. There really should have been 10 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. We have always say the first 3 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, and the last 3 brachas are always the same. And a Rosh Hashanah should say a middle bracha that contains the theme of Kedushas Hayoyim, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The middle bracha always speaks about the theme of Kedushas Shabbos and Kedushas Yom Tov. So that should be 7 brachas like a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then you should add on another 3 brachas on Malchus and Chayin and Shofers. So 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 1 equals 10. So all the Tanaim work on the premise that there are only 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah. They have a 3-way dispute. Which 2 brachas do you combine together? You kvetch together in order to come to the conclusion that you're only going to have 9 brachas. So Rebbeinu Menuhi says you combine together Malchias in Atta Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh in Kedushas Hashem. Because anyway you're going to conclude Hamelech HaKodesh. So you have anyway the theme of Malchias and Aseret HaMeshuvah in Atta Kodesh. So since you have anyway the theme of Malchias, you may as well insert the whole Malchias into the 3rd bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. And then the 4th bracha will only be Kedushas Hayoyim, like we do on Shabbos and Yontif. The 4th bracha is only about Yontif. We don't follow Rabbi Yechon and Benuri's opinion. So we follow Rabbi Akiva, and we combine together, in the 4th bracha, we combine together Malchias together with Kedushas Hayoyim. These are the 2 opinions that appear in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, a Braisa from the Tosefta, that Rabbi Gamliel says you should combine together the Kedushas Hayoyim with the middle bracha of Zechrayim. And every Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Kedushas Hayom was always the middle bracha. It's the 4th of 7. So today on Rosh Hashanah you're going to have 9. There should be the 5th of the 9. So the Kedushas Hayom should be mamish in the middle. So that opinion was totally not accepted. And the other 2, Rabbi Hamanuri's opinion, the Yerushalmi says that there was a period of time that in sections of Eretz Yisrael they used to follow Rabbi Hamanuri's view, that they would combine Malchias with Atta Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh. And the accepted opinion is like Rabbi Akiva, that's when we have an Amrasa, that we recite the Malchias together with the bracha of Kedushas Hayoyim. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Gemara never explains why do all the Tanaim work with the premise that you have to combine 2 brachas together, and they're arguing which 2 brachas should you combine together. Why don't you just solve the problem and have 10 brachas? That's right, Nick. Recite 10 brachas, then you figure out which bracha comes first. Okay, we'll fight that out. How come nobody says like that? So he pointed out, because there is a machlokes b'shamay and b'sil, what do you do when Yontif Choli is b'Shabbos? Or Chalamoy. That's a Shabbos Chalamoy. So b'shamay are of the opinion that you offer a tefillah, an amidah, with 8 brachas. You have the first 3 brachas, the last 3 brachas. Then in the middle you have 2 brachas. 1 bracha for Yontif, Kedushas Hayom for Yontif, when you conclude Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmane. And 1 bracha for Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos. We don't pass them like Bishama, we pass them like Bishilov, that you combine together the 2 themes, and we combine the 2 themes in the Chassimus HaBracha, you say, Mekadesh HaShabbos, V'Yisrael V'Hazmanin. And the Gemara says that should really be a violation of Ein Chos Min Mishnayim, that poses a problem. So the Gemara says, well, we got no choice, we got to do this, and that's all. So why do you have no choice, why do you have to do that? So the Gemara in different places seems to give different explanations. So the accepted explanation is that you cannot have a tefillah that has 8 parts to it. The Gemara says that the Anshik Knesset HaGdolah was a body of 120 Chachamim, amongst whom, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, amongst whom were several Nevi'im, and they were the ones who composed all the tefillahs. So Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, why was it necessary to mention Ubehem Kama Nevi'im? Why was it important to say that the Anshik Knesset HaGdolah consisted of several prophets? So he says, because to compose a tefillah, you have to have a koyach of nevuah, you have to have a koyach of ruach hakodesh. Otherwise, you don't know what you're talking about when you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or when you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of our needs. A person can ask for something ridiculous. Many of us do ask for things that are utterly ridiculous. That's why we add on at the end of the Shema Tefillah, V'sekabel berachamim uvirotzen as tefillah seinu. It means that the Baruch Hu shouldn't answer all of our prayers in the affirmative. whatever we asked for, that's stupid, so delete those requests. Now, so there she used to say, you have no idea how much he davened. He didn't want to come to America to trade for Medina. He wanted to stay in Europe. He said, would have stayed in Europe, would have been killed by the Nazis, that would have been nearby. We often daven, a person is chalashing to marry a certain girl, he wants davkes to get a certain job, he wants to go to this yeshiva, he wants to go to that university. That's poison for him. That'll be terrible for him. We don't know. We don't know what's best in our interest. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of all of the tefillahs, we say, "Kabel berachamim uverotzen es tefillahs," and don't accept all of our prayers. Only accept those prayers that you know make sense. So the Gemara says, the body of these 120 Talmidei Chachamim who composed the tefillahs had amongst them a Behem Kama Nevi'im. It was important to have a Kerech of a Nevu'ah input from Nevi'im, that the Bakasha should make sense and that the Shevach should make sense. The Gemara says a lot of times we praise our Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what we're talking about. The Gemara tells a story in Brochus. There was once a Chaz and they had no Siddur. At the time of the Tanoim, the Siddur was the Nusach HaTzvilah was part of the Torah Shebal Peh, so it wasn't permissible to daven from the Siddur. So once Chazan was davening, so he started to add on, instead of Akel HaGad, Akiva HaNer, he starts to add on more and more and more and more, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the rabbi is standing next to the Chazan. When the Chazan finally finished all of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the rabbi whispers to him, "You've exhausted all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all? You have nothing more to say?" So then the rabbi said, "We don't know how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the fact that these expressions, Akel HaGad, Akiva HaNer, appear in Tanakh, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah with the Koach of Nevuah that they had instituted this in the Shemoneh Esrei, we wouldn't be allowed to say that either. We don't know what we're saying." The Gemara says, "Mikan v'yelach," after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah completed composing all the tefillahs, also the Sapa b'shvacha shal matam. We're not allowed to compose our own sheva, because we probably won't know what we're talking about. The Gemara says, as it says in the Pasuk, "Mim alil v'ras Hashem, yashmiya kol tehilot." Who has the right to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimalach, Vos Hashem, who can praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Only the one, Yashmir Kol Tehilotah, the one who knows how to really describe the greatness of God. And none of us know. We don't have Nevuah. We don't know. That's why when we recite Anim Zmiris was not composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They had no Nevi'im had input. It was composed by Paitonim. So it's really a problem. Each line in Anim Zmiris is based on a Pasuk in Tanakh, or based on a Maimon Chazal, based on a Medrash. But really it's questionable. Maybe we really shouldn't say any of these praises. So at the end of Adam's Mirrors we say, that's like on Shabbos, the people talk in business, then they say, "Nishm Shabbos Geret." We really shouldn't be talking about this on Shabbos. When you have a Mishaberch for a Chayla, so on Shabbos, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if he's a Chayla, sheyesh b'sakana, he's really, really sick, then you don't have to say, "Shabbos emilizuk." You're allowed to be mispal for a Chayla on Shabbos. But if he's a Chayla, sheyem b'sakana, then you have to add on Nishtam Shabbos Geret. You have to add on Shabbos Himilizik. We really shouldn't be talking about this on Shabbos. When you're Menachem Mobile, say Shabbos Himilanachem. Menachem Mobile on Shabbos, but you add on, we really shouldn't be talking about Nicham Avela on Shabbos. It's a sad topic. So here at the conclusion of Anim's Miris, we also say Mimal Gros Hashem means we really shouldn't be saying all of these praises because we really don't know what we're talking about. Maybe we're not saying a proper praise. If you look in the slichas, not all of the slichas have the same nusach, but in the minig the nusach that they have in the yeshiva, what they have in the minig lita, so you say Ashrei, then you say Shemetzu Adacha Kabosa Yavo Yomek. Each line is each and every line is a pasuk in Tanakh, but this string of the lines is not from Tanakh, so that we put together. Those who composed the slichas decided which psukim to put in order. Then when you introduce the slichas also with Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you get to the Bakasha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the ability to do tshuva, and we ask him to give us Mechilas HaOvan. So at the conclusion of the Shevach, you say psukim, psukim, then you say, Mimal Gros Hashem Yashmel Kol Tehilotah, Kimi Bashachak Yarach HaLashem, Yidmal Hashem Ibnei Elam. Who can compare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't know what we're talking about. We really shouldn't have said this. Like at the end of Anim Zmiris, we say, Mimal Gros Hashem. We really shouldn't have said this, Anim Zmiris. So we say at the end of all the Shevach, Mimal Gros Hashem, we really shouldn't be saying it. And then at the conclusion of the Shevach, then we start saying, we start to say that we sin. That's when the Bakasha starts. We want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the Karach of Tshuva, and to give us Mechilas HaOvan. So there also, at the conclusion of the whole Seder of Psukim of Shevach that we strung together, Each one is a pasuk, but this Seder, this order of reciting these psukim in this order, this was what we put together with that Korach HaRuach HaKodesh. So we're not sure whether this was proper, so at the end of such a Shevach, you say, So I really forgot where we left off.
No,
So the Gemara says that the nusach of the tefillah was composed by Banshe Knesset Zoyla, and amongst them were common Nevi'im, because otherwise it wouldn't have the right to compose a Shevach, wouldn't have the right to say a Bakosha. It could be that it's totally off. And then the Gemara adds on in Brachas, not only did they have to have Nevi'im, but they had to have a source in Tanakh that you have such a tefillah with so many units. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim found the source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 18 parts. And then when they decided they want to add on another bracha, so they didn't know whether they had the right to add another bracha, or they should insert this added bakasha into one of the already existing brachas. You can add it into Shema Tefillah. You can add whatever you want into Shema Tefillah. So the Gemara says they found another source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 19 units. So they added on Velam Al Shinim as a 19th bracha. Then the Gemara says, in the days of the Tanoim, when they used to daven 24 brachas on the Tanis Sibur, the Chazm would add on an additional 6 brachas in the Chazaras Hashat. So the Gemara says, they searched and they found, before they found the pasuk in Tanakh, they didn't introduce this. They found a source in Tanakh that you can have a tefillah with 24 units. They found a source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 7 parts. They have a source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 9 parts. The reason why you have Yontif, Shechol Yis, the Shabbos, you don't say 2 brachas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, one for Yontif, one for Shabbos, so the Gemara says because they didn't find the source for a tefillah that has 8 units. They only have a source for a tefillah that has 7 units. Then with respect to Rosh Hashanah, so the Gemara says they found the source in Tanakh, the Tefillah Schano, that mentions Shem Hashem 9 times. So they understood that to mean that it's possible to compose a tefillah with 9 units. But they didn't find any source in Tanakh that they would have the right to compose a tefillah with 10 units. So that's why all the Tanoim are working on the premise that the Shemoneh Esrei, the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah, cannot have 10 brachas. You have to have 9 brachas. Hi, but you have 10 themes. So they're all working on the assumption you have to combine together 2 of the themes. So that's the whole machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, with Rabbi Chananui, with Rabbi Gamliel, which of the 2 brachas should be combined together. Now, so they should point it out. The essence of tefillah, he said, in our religion, the essence of tefillah is bakasha sarachim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs. He said, by the Yovdei Avodah Zarah and by the other man-made religions, so they visualize God as a human being. So human beings enjoy flattery, enjoy praise, they like chanifa. So they visualize the gods as if the gods enjoy chanifa. So by many of the Yovdei Avodah Zarah, the prayer just consists of shevach. They'll just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, shevach, more shevach, more shevach. He said, in our religion, the Rebbe Shlom doesn't need our Shevach. We don't know how to say Shevach. We don't know what we're talking about when we say Shevach. In our religion, the tefillah, the essence of the tefillah really is the Bakasha Sarach. We ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu to take care of our needs. But the Gemara learns that from the Psukim in Tanakh, that it's not Derech Eretz to rush in right away to ask for, to take care of our needs. So Derech Eretz dictates you should give as an introduction a few words of Shevach. You should give as a conclusion a few words of Haidoyah, Moedim Anach Naloch. And the main part of the tefillah is really the middle part, when you have the 13 brachas in the middle of the week, the Shemoneh Esrei, when you have the bakasha sarach. And even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when the Chacham said we should leave out all the 13 brachas in the middle, so how is one, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein raises the question in his Shuvahs, how is one a fulfillment of the biblical mitzvah to daven? The Rambam's opinion is that it's a mitzvah and a Torah to daven once a day, every day. To daven once a day, every day. And the outline of the framework of the davening should be Shevach and Bakasha Sarachim and Haidoyah. So on Shabbos, if you leave out the middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei, so you have no Bakasha Sarachim, say Ika Chosim and Asefer. The Baruch Shalom doesn't need the Shevach, he doesn't need the Haidoyah. That's just the introduction and the conclusion, the essence of the tefillah really in the middle part. So how about Yotzei, the mitzvah tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Moshe Feinstein points out, if you look in the Siddur, the concluding paragraph of the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos, the middle bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos, has the bakasha. Instead of asking for refuah, and for panasa, and for geula, and for all the other things that we ask for, bracha for the tzaddikim and a curse for the rishayim and all the other needs that we have. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out most of those bakoshes and we only concentrate on these ruchnis dika bakoshes. The essence of the tefillah on Shabbos really not so much yismach ha'mamishim matan eskelko v'shamah b'nei yisos ha'shabbos v'aychulu. The essence is really the concluding paragraph. The same is true on Yom Tov. We say v'hasiyeno Hashem ha'kenu v'bikos ma'adecha. The concluding paragraph always has the bakoshes sarach. So the Reishit pointed out the same is true regarding the Malchus Yisroelis and Shofers. The eager part of the Malchus Yisroelis and Shofers is the concluding paragraph of each one of them. He just explained the structure of the three brachas. In the beginning, the opening paragraph of each one of the Malchus Yisroelis and Shofers, we spell out an Iker and Amunah that we subscribe to. The Rambam writes that there are 13 Ikarim and Amunah, and Rabbi Yosef Alba wrote a Sefer Ikarim, where he takes issue with the Rambam. He says the Rambam didn't write all the Ikarim. There are more than 13. There's an Ikar of Bechira Chofshis. The Rambam left out Bechira Chofshis. Ikar of Bechira Yisrael. There's so many Ikarim that the Rambam left out. Absolutely, he thought that there must be some historical reason why the Rambam picked on these 13 Ikarim. Maybe these were debated in public debates with the other religions. But the Rambam didn't exhaust all of the Ikari Hamunim when he gave the list of 13. So there's the Balbus says basically there are three Ikari Hamunim. So we call Malchus Yisroelis and Shofers. Those are the three Ikari Hamuna. These were revealed to Adam Rishon the day that he was created. On Rosh Hashanah we commemorate the creation of Adam Rishon. Zeh Yom Tchilas. The Gemara says we recite the Nishmanas with Zeh Yom Tchilas Masecha Yikara Liyom Rishon. We commemorate the creation of Adam Rishon on Rosh Hashanah, and we reminisce about everything that was taught to Adam Rishon on that day. So the main thing that was taught to him was these themes of Malchus Yisroelis and Shofers, that God is the soul power in the whole world. Malchus, there's only one God and he has full control over everything. And Zechariah thinks that there's Chav Yonish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratis and knows everything that's happening, and he's going to reward the Tzaddik and going to punish the Rishayim. And Shofers represents the idea of Gila Shechina, that there was Torah Min HaShamayim. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they were blasting the Shofar. The Tkiya Shofar is supposed to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself to mankind, he's communicating with man. There are those philosophers who think that it's impossible. How can it be that the infinite God can communicate with man? So what do you mean impossible? We were there. Our forefathers were there at Hasina. There were a few million Jews standing at Hasina. And there was a Gila Shechina to all of us. We all had the Madrega of Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody was listening to the Gila Shechina at that time. We believe in Nevuah. That's one of the Ikari Hamunah. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with man. He has communicated in the past. He will communicate in the future. He says, Kabbash Shefa Gadol Lechei V'Seinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to blow Shefa when it's going to come the time of Bias HaMashiach. There will be a Gila Shechina at that time. And included in this idea of communication is the Koyach HaTzila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us through Nevuah, and we can communicate with him by davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our prayers. He doesn't always answer in the affirmative, but Shemeh Tzila listens to all the prayers, and then he'll decide whether yes or no. So these are all the Ikorei Hamunah that were revealed to Adam Rishon, day number one, that there is a God in heaven above, and a God created the whole world. Coronation Mayim Ba'aretz, he's the Balabas, the sole Balabas, sole control of everything. Vuras Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one in full control. And that there's Chav Yonish, and there's Hashgach HaPratis, and there's Torah Min HaShemayim, everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Adam Rishon the first day, by Tzav Hashem Alekim Ahal Adam Leimer. He gave him all of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach, plus a HaRashah, not to eat from the Eitz Hadaas. So we reminisce about all of these, basically the three Ikari Amunah that Rabbi Yosef Alba writes. Those are the things of Malchus, Lechonis, and Shofar. So we start off the opening paragraph of each one of them is a statement of Emunah. We speak about the theme of Malchus, we speak about the theme of Zechariah, we speak about the theme of Shofar. And then how does a Jew prove that something is correct? So the Gemara, we say, how do you know? A pasuk from Tanakh. Yeshiva is going to get to know. So we got the Davov in the Gemara. The Gemara says, how do you know that Bovel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael? So look on a map. No, Shenema. It's a pasuk in Tanakh. We soften the pasuk haro. Whenever the Gemara wants to prove something, they always quote a pasuk from Tanakh. Someone recently published such an essay about the way the Jews taught. The Jews always prove things by quoting psukim from Tanakh. Rather than looking outside and saying that the grass is green and the sun is shining, no, we'll quote a pasuk from Tanakh to prove that it's so. So in the davening, we develop a whole theme of Malchus, the theme of Zechariah, the theme of Shofar. We state what we believe in, and then we quote psukim. Dovas that pass about Torah, shana by vim, shulik by psukim. We quote three psukim. So one time is of the opinion that's all you have to quote, three psukim, one from Torah, one from Nevim, one from psukim. We don't follow that opinion. We say it's better to quote three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Nevim, and three psukim from psukim, just in case we've quoted the pasuk out of context. So we quote three psukim from Torah. So we really quote nine psukim. So the nine psukim are for the purpose of proving conclusively that this is really what we believe in. What we said in the opening paragraph is our hashkafa as it appears in Tanakh. The tenth pasuk that we have to say is not part of the proof. The proof to demonstrate that this theme is correct is based on the ninth psukim. Dovas akasa b'Torah, shalom b'avim, shulish b'ksuvim, and we say three psukim from Torah, three psukim from the Rim, three psukim from ksuvim. The Gemara says the tenth pasuk is connected with the concluding paragraph, which is really the punchline, which is the ikar, because the ikar of the tefillah always is the middle brachas, which have the bakashas sarachim. Each one of the concluding paragraphs of Malchus Lehen HaShofers have a bakasha. At the conclusion of Malchus, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokeinu Elokei Eloheinu, Melech HaKol HaOlam Kulo B'Chaydecho. Show the whole world that you are the Melech and all of mankind should accept your Malchus. It's the need of the Jewish people, it's the need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whosever tzorach it is, it's a bakasha tzorach. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of a certain need. It's his need and it's our need also. We need Malchus. At the concluding paragraph of Zechariah, we conclude Zechariah Bris. You made a Bris with the Jewish people. Give us a break. Today is a Yom Adin. So judge the Jewish people at Toiva as you promised in the past. You have a special relationship with Klal Yisrael as opposed to all the other people in the world. So make sure that today should be a Yom Adin with Toiva. And the same is in Shofers. We say, okay, I'm saying, Tkab Shofer Godel Lecheriseinu. You should blow the shofar shel Mashiach, you should give us geula, you should make a gilui shechina. So the essence really of the middle bracha samtzoy is the malchus on the shofar really is the concluding paragraph where you have the bakasha. But before you get to the bakasha, so by way of introduction, we develop the whole theme, what we believe in, and we demonstrate that it's correct in the psukim of Tanakh, and then we get to the punchline, we ask the bakasha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara seems to say, that's a Rasulation Pentera, the Gemara seems to say that the role of the tenth Pasuk is not the same as the role of the ninth Sukkim. The ninth Sukkim are in order to demonstrate that the theme that we started off with, the Hashkafa, is accurate, that we subscribe to these Ikrei Hamuna of Malchich Zecharenis and Shurfis. The tenth Pasuk is to enhance the Bakasha in the concluding paragraph. That's why in Zecharenis and Shurfis, the tenth Pasuk is quoted in the middle of the concluding paragraph. In Malchias, the Achrayim point out, they quote from the Rishayim, why, that we don't want to include the 10th Pasuk into the last paragraph, but it really relates to the last paragraph. So the purpose of the 10th Pasuk is, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should reveal his Malchus, he should be Sheyal Zichanenu L'Toyv L'Fonov, and Kabashay Fogadlach Eviseinu, and then we say, as you promised in your Chumash, and we quote the 10th Pasuk to enhance the Bakash at the end. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Gemara has, the Mishnah has a Machlokes Rav Yechon Menuhin and Rav Akiva. How do you combine, which two brachas do you combine together in order to come to the sum total of only nine brachas as opposed to 10 brachas? So Rav Yechon Menuhin claims that he put Malchias together with Atu Kodesh Vishimcha Kodesh. And then the fourth bracha is just going to have Kedusha Sayyad. It's not going to be combined at all. Rav Akiva disagrees and he says no, that you have the three middle brachas of the Shemayas are going to be Malchus, Granus, and Shofers, and you combine together Malchus with the Kedusha Sayyad. So Biach Manuri says, when you recite Malchus in the middle of Atta Kodesh with Shimcha Kodesh, you say, anyway, Malach HaKodesh, and you elaborate on the theme, and you put in all the psukim there, so Biach Manuri says, when you complete Malchus, you don't blow Shofer. You only blow shofar after Kedusha Sayyim and Zechronis and Shofar. So Rabbi Kiva argues in the Mishnah, Emeinu Tokeiach, he's not blowing shofar after Malchias, so why does he say the 10th Pasuk? Let him only say 9 Pesukim. What's the connection? Why is that a kasha? But Yechmanur, he says, you say 10 Pesukim and Malchias when you insert the Malchias into the middle of Atta Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh before Hamelach HaKodesh. So Rabbi Kiva says, if you are telling me that you don't blow shofar after Malchias, so it should be sufficient to say 9 psukim, you shouldn't bother to say the 10th pasuk. What's the connection between the 10th pasuk with the Tkiya Shofar? It's very unclear in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is one of his favorite explanations. He used to say this almost every year. It's a beautiful interpretation. He said the role of the tenth pasuk is the same as the role of the tkiya shofar. The tkiya shofar is to enhance the bakosha, to strengthen the tefillah, to elevate it to the level of tefillah sheyeshimo demois. As the oka on the tiny tziba, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tainus, this assessment atar lizik alohariya al kolsara shalotov alatziba. Lohariya means to blow the chatzaitzis, and lizik means to daven with bechias, not stam to daven, plain tefillah. All year long there's a mitzvah of tefillah, and on a tiny tziba, the esara, there's a mitzvah, lizik means to daven with more serious kavana. So the purpose of the tenth pasuk is to enhance the tefillah. In the concluding paragraph of the Malchus of HaNesherchus, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal his Malchus as he himself wrote in the Chumash. There's going to be a day that all of the nations of the world will accept his Malchus. He says, Zachem, there's a current table of Fanecha. We go to Pasuk Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that that's what he's going to do. He's going to look favorably upon the Jewish people and remember the bris that he made with us. The same thing in Zechreinus, in Shefres. The concluding paragraph of each one of them is the bakosha, and to enhance that bakosha is to elevate it to a higher level of zo'aka. So we, number one, add on a pasuk. The ninth sukkah out to prove the point that we developed in the first paragraph of each one of the three brachas. But the tenth pasuk really is either inserted in the middle of the concluding paragraph, even though by Malchus we recite the tenth pasuk before, but it really relates to the concluding paragraph. We are mechazik the bakosha, the tefillah, by quoting the pasuk from the Chumash, and also to elevate the level of the tefillah, we blow shofar. So that's Rabbi Akiva asks again, Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, if you're telling me that you recite Malchus in the middle of the bracha at the Kodesh before HaMelech HaKodesh, but you don't blow shofar, so he says, Emeinu Tokeya, if you're not going to blow shofar, Salam HaMaskev, why do you mention the 10th pasuk? Should be sufficient with 9th sukkim. The whole role of the 10th pasuk is to enhance the tefillah that we're going to recite in the concluding paragraph. We don't appreciate our davening. We're so used to be daven from little childhood on. So we always daven the Shemoneh Esrei. We don't appreciate it. So Reishik pointed out in one of his published essays that there was a Goyisha philosopher in Europe who wrote a whole book who quoted the whole Nusach HaTfil of Rosh Hashanah. It's such a beautiful prayer. The Goy was inspired by the prayer. We should prepare beforehand. The Gemara says before Yom Tov, you have to be Mesada the Tfilah. So the Paschim, because they used to daven by heart in the days of the Gemara. So says Shulchan Aruch, as long as everybody has a matzah, you don't have to prepare in advance. But if you don't prepare in advance, you won't appreciate the whole beauty of the tzilus. You should really all prepare in advance and look at the psukim and look at the whole nusach habracha from the beginning to the end. The prayers are so beautiful. We rush through the slichas all the time. It's really rachmanis. Many of the slichas are so beautiful. The introductory part is so beautiful. The whole structure of all the slichas so beautiful. We lose the whole beauty of the tzilus because we don't concentrate on it. I want to wish everybody a Ksivu Achsimu Toiva, a good Gibben Shio. We have a lot to daven for. We have many kavanas. They have in a lot of Matzorim, they have 10 kavanas at Tfila, 10 kavanas that one can have in mind at the time of Tkiya Shofar. So one of the kavanas they have is we should reminisce about the fact that on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they blew Shofar. So people wonder, why? That's on Shavuos, you reminisce about Maimon HaSinai. Why should you reminisce on Rosh Hashanah? No! Absalyagan didn't invent it. That's what it says in the Siddur. In the bracha of Shofar, we talk about Maimon HaSinai. Why do we talk about Maimon HaSinai? Because Torah Min HaShemayim is one of the Hikorim that was told to Adam Rishon this first day by Tzav Hashem Hakim Al Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded him in the Sheva in the mitzvah Bnei Noach and the mitzvah not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So we reminisce every year on Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos, we celebrate the Mamat and Terasein, Maimon HaSinai, but our Rosh Hashanah, we reminisce about the fact that God did communicate with Adam Rishon, and he gave him a Torah Min HaShemayim. He told him which mitzvahs he has to follow. Sadi Goyen says that we should also have in mind another one of the kavanas of Tkiya Shofar, we should have in mind Shofar Shel Mashiach. So who's talking about Shofar Shel Mashiach? Where did he get this from? No, not where did he get it from. It says in the Siddur. Kavu Shofar Gadol HaRisenu. That's what we're talking about. The shofar is always blown when there's a Yilu Shechina. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the davening, he should bring the days of Mashiach, and the Bias HaMashiach is connected with the Bias HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world as an S. Nothing existed before Bias HaOlam. Only God existed. There was nothing else. How did the Baruch Hu create a world? Something that exists outside of him. So it's an S on top of an S which we can't understand. In the Kabbalah Sorim talk about Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. We don't understand what Tzimtzum is. He removed himself from the world. He shrunk into himself and he left a little room for the world to exist. So we don't understand what this means. It's a net. Ilu Yidaitiv HaYisiv. The philosophers from the Middle Ages write the Kuzari, writes it a little like that. If we would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would understand what Elokus is all about. The only one who understands Elokus is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can't understand it. So we don't understand the Nes of Bri'as Olam. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't do a Nes unnecessarily. The Ram explains on the Gemara in Bamei Madlikim, why is it that the Neir is burnt in the Beis HaMikdash for 8 days? Why not for longer? Why not for shorter? So the Ram says because the trip from the Beis HaMikdash to the place where they used to manufacture the oil was a 4-day trip. So they needed then the oil to burn for 8 days. If they could have gotten pure oil within 8 days, the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't do a Nes unnecessarily. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam made a Nes, he created a world. There must be a purpose for creating such a world. Must be a Nes. We haven't seen any Taklis yet. So far, we just see Cain kills Hevel, and everybody's killing everybody else, and the world is ready to collapse now. Everybody's fighting, everybody's killing everybody else. There's no Taklis in the whole world. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create this world? So he told Adam and Risha on day number one, I created the world, there's going to be a purpose for this world. There's going to bring Mashiach in the future. Mashiach is going to be the Tikkun Olam. Then HaMalchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be accepted. So Rosh Hashanah is the day to talk about Bi'as HaMashiach. That's the whole Taklis of the Bi'as HaOlam, was that the world should have a purpose. The purpose will be that all of mankind will accept the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the other Kavanas, unfortunately, one of the Kavanas that Rav Sadia Gaon has, he has all the 10 Kavanas of Tkiyas Shofar, one of the Kavanas is that in the days of the Tanakh, he used to blow shofar in the middle of battle to encourage the soldiers. He used to blow trumpets to encourage the soldiers to fight harder to be successful in battle. Fortunately, we have a Jewish government. Unfortunately, we have to have an army that has to fight. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this year, like every year on Rosh Hashanah, that he should give success to the Jewish army. If they have to fight, they should be successful in battle. We have no choice. We have so much to pray for. We have to pray for Eretz Yisrael. We have to pray for the Jews in America. We have to pray for the whole world, for the economy, the whole world. Everything is collapsing. So this year, more than in previous years, we have a lot to daven for. So we should all daven well. A good Geben Shtiyah to all of us. Aksiru Achsim HaToivah.